This is World Update with Dan Tamen. Child abuse by aid workers and peacekeepers. Who will police it? Who will face punishment? The new version of the internet, known as Web 2.0. Interactive, lots of user contribution, sometimes exciting, but not profitable. And the man who wrote the new James Bond thriller admits to being nervous about the reception by fans. You're listening to World Update from the BBC in London. Now the latest news headlines.
BBC News with Larry Goga. The aid agency Save the Children has called for the creation of an international watchdog to investigate child abuse by aid workers and peacekeepers. The group says its researchers have uncovered significant evidence that children as young as six are being traded for sex in exchange for food, money, soap and mobile phones. A non-governmental organisation in South Africa says the number of people displaced by anti-immigrant violence over the past 2 weeks is nearly three times higher than the official government figure. The Minister of Safety and Security, Charles Ngakula, said on Monday that more than 30,000 people had fled their home. But the Centre for the Study of Violence and Reconciliation said its research showed the total to be at least 80,000. The Burmese authorities have arrested more than a dozen opposition activists who were marching to the home of the detained pro-democracy leader Aung San Suu Kyi. Burma's military government is due to decide shortly whether to extend her house arrest by another year. Security outside her villa has been increased. Chinese soldiers are working around the clock to drain a big lake that has been filling up behind a landslide caused by the Sichuan earthquake. Around 30,000 people living below the lake have already been evacuated, and officials are preparing to move tens of thousands more. Foreign ministers from five countries around the Arctic are meeting in Greenland to set rules for dividing the vast reserves of untapped oil and gas that are thought to lie beneath the seabed. Canada, Denmark, Norway, Russia and the United States will hold 2 days of talks as the United Nations begins the process of updating the law on sovereignty over continental shelves. The European Court of Human Rights has rejected the plea of an HIV-positive Ugandan woman who's seeking to remain in Britain despite being refused asylum. Her lawyers had argued that sending her back to Uganda would be cruel because the lack of medical support there would cause her to die early. BBC News.
You're listening to World Update from the BBC World Service in London. This is Dan Damon. The development charity Save the Children says there is widespread evidence that children as young as six are being sexually abused, traded for food, money, mobile phones, for soap in war zones and disaster areas. The problem isn't new. What is most disturbing, says Save the Children, is that the United Nations and aid agencies have promised to tackle the problem in recent years but failed to act effectively. We can speak to Larry Hollingworth, a very experienced former UN aid worker. Very good to talk to you again, Larry. Thanks for being with us on World Update. This is a very serious problem and the response seems not to be serious enough. Would you agree?
That seems the way on the surface, Dan. As you know the aid world exceptionally well. I mean, at any one time, the UN employs about 200,000 workers from all the nations in the world, and on peacekeeping missions, there's 85,000 from 100 countries. I agree that within the UN, apparently, the figures at the end of 2007 is that they'd had 316 accusations against them, and they'd actually disciplined 179 people. But it's a massive problem, as you know. I think the wisest words I've heard recently is that whilst the whole of the aid community accepts zero tolerance, it's impossible to have zero incidents.
Save the Children is calling for some kind of investigative body. Does the UN, when it puts out a peacekeeping mission, does it have the equivalent of a blue helmet military police force as well?
Normally it does, no doubt about it. And of course the UN also has an Office of Internal Oversight Services, which is supposed to investigate any whiffs of scandal. It unfortunately isn't as powerful as it should be, and it isn't as large as it should be. But there are investigations. But I think one of the most alarming things with this is it's not just, as you know, the UN that they're accusing here. They're accusing the aid world in general. Now, I gave the figures before for the UN. The numbers of people who are not with the UN but working with aid agencies in the field, I mean, it'd be impossible to know how many there were. So, I mean, the opportunities there for people who are bad, and let's face it, the aid world isn't all made up of Mother Teresa's and Nelson Mandela's, and the opportunity is there. What we've got to do, in my opinion, is to spot it and stop it. And I think the first way to doing that is to have people's peers recognize it. I mean, if there's somebody who's bad and who is cavorting with the beneficiary, somebody in the organization must know. It's those people you've got to get the message through to. And then the other thing is, you know, in UK we have this child line where people who are victims can get through to somebody and report it. We've got to have that in the field as well.
Some way of those who are victims to feel that they will get a hearing, which I guess at the moment they don't feel, because those who they thought were come to help them are instead attacking them. The danger, Larry, would be that because this is a horrifying problem, even if at a small scale, it will put people off contributing to the aid effort.
No, that's very true. Absolutely right. There's no question about that. And I think quite rightly, if we can't get our house in order, then people have the right to worry about how their money is being spent. But I would say that this is only a small portion of the people who are actually out there.